We're going to bring this meeting to order at approximately 1:31 p.m. Senator Stedman is here, Senator Olson is present, Senator Machicki and myself. We have a quorum. Please turn off your phones, your cell phones that you may have. Today we're going to hear SB 16 and SB 38. We're going to start with SB 16. It's sponsored by Senator Giesel. It's an act relating to the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Can you please come up, Senator Giesel, introduce yourself, and introduce the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Senator Kathy Giesel. I represent District N, which is the Anchorage Hillside, Turnagain Arm, and Kenai Peninsula. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for hearing this bill today. For brevity, as I go through the bill, I'm going to refer to the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors as the AELS Board. Senate Bill 16 revises statute to designate a full-time investigator rather than a part-time investigator to serve the AELS Board. At this time, the board is served by one investigator, which also serves six other boards. That investigator oversees 18,000 licensees. Of this total, 6,400 or so are from the AELS Board. That's about 36% of his workload. So why is this a problem? I know that a lot of folks haven't served on a board or commission before, so let me just kind of review what we do to regulate professions. First of all, we regulate professions to ensure public safety, to ensure a specified level of competency. For example, the state of Alaska is the only state that requires an Arctic engineering course for licensed engineers and architects in our state. So each state differs a little bit in their requirements. On occasion, there's a breach of standards, which is reported to the professional boards, either by the public, who may have been injured by that professional, or by another professional who notes substandard work or some other concern. This initiates an investigation. The investigation can't be done by board members. The board actually employs or has working for them an investigator who explores whether the accusation is accurate, whether there's validity or reason to actually discipline that professional. AELS regulates 15 engineering specialties. It used to be six specialties, but in the last year, they added nine more because engineering is becoming more specialized. So they're now covering categories such as structural engineers, environmental engineers, nuclear engineering, industrial engineering, and others. This has increased their licensee workload to 490 more licensees covered by this board. And this adds to an already heavy investigator workload. In the last 18 months, the AELS board has opened 116 cases. Allegations of unprofessional conduct or unlicensed practice or violation of licensing regulations. Now you might be asking yourself, 116 cases? Do we have incompetent engineers or architects out there? Well, one of the factors that's kind of contributing to this is the recession in the lower 48. We're seeing people moving to Alaska who aren't familiar with our regulations, don't realize what steps they have to take to be conducting their profession appropriately. Nevertheless, this increase in cases deserves the full attention of the board's investigator. The other six boards also have investigation needs. The other boards that are shared by the AELS board investigator are construction contractors, home inspectors, electrical administrators, mechanical administrators, geologists, and underground storage tank workers. The investigator has to have expertise in all of these subject matter. That's pretty extensive. The AELS board and its regulatory responsibility is compromised by having only a part-time investigator. You've probably heard the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. When a complaint is filed, it needs to be dealt with promptly for the safety of the public as well as to serve that professional for whom the complaint has been filed. So public safety is compromised and responsiveness to the public's concern. SB 16 would ensure that the AELS board has continued proper regulation of their licensees and that those licensees are practicing safely and within regulation. There is a fiscal note attached to this bill, Mr. Chair and committee members. But remember, regulatory boards have to be self-supporting. That means the cost for that board's operation, the board itself, their per diem or their travel expenses, all of that, as well as the cost for their investigator, has to be covered by all of their licensees. So the cost is spread out over the licensees. The passage of this bill will not increase license fees for the AELS licensees this year. The ALS board has some carry-forward funds that will cover the initial costs. Current license fees are $125 every 2 years. Licenses, I think for most of the professions, are two-year licenses. So the estimated fee increase will be minimal and will not be enacted for 2 years. It'll be spread over that 6,400 licensees. So that's my overall introduction of the bill, Mr. Chair. Don Habiger, the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, has been kind enough to be present today. He can certainly answer more in-depth questions, and I might be able to answer some of the questions also.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Giesel, as you look at this situation, we're obviously trying to add two people to the state's employment. With this time of decreasing state revenues and things like that, and some of the other issues that are out there, and the oil tax part is going to be revamped to a certain degree, and shrinking revenues are going to be out there. How do we justify adding two more people and realize that, and looking at the fiscal load of $110,500, or actually this next time is $115,500, how do we go ahead and justify adding two more people to the state's employ when we're seeing a push to try and decrease the state's budget?
Good question, Senator Olson, through the chair. First of all, the bill does say two persons, but remember those two persons, one of them is already employed by the board. That's the executive secretary of the board. Mm-hmm. And the board already has a part-time investigator. So that investigator will become full-time for the ALS board. And yes, another person will have to be added. But again, all of those costs will be covered by the licensees who are under the jurisdiction of the various boards. So it's not an addition to the state's budget. It will be distributed to the licensees.
Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Yes.
I guess that's not the way I'm reading it, because as you look at the fiscal note, we see in fiscal year 14, we got $115,500, and in year 15, $110,000, and continues at that same level out to 2019. It would seem like it's costing something to the state to go ahead and put these people on there. Am I misreading the fiscal note?
The fiscal note does include some supplies, some one-time startup fees, costs for computer office supplies, and so forth. But the actual cost for the personnel will be covered by the boards themselves. As you see in the second paragraph of the explanation, through the chair, the second paragraph, personnel costs include blah, 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 and will be directly responsible and accountable to the board. The board will be covering those costs. And actually, if you would like to talk with Mr. Habiger, he is the director over that division, and he might be able to answer more thoroughly.
Okay. Yes, I have a quick question.
Senator Machicki.
Senator Giesel, how many individuals are licensed?
Approximately 6,400, actually slightly more than that in the AELS board. Right now, 18,000 licensees total are being covered by a single investigator.
So this is essentially adding $20 per person with much better service and much better reliability from the department and only adding one position.
Correct, and remember that $20 is over a two-year time period. Senator Machicki, through the chair.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
And maybe it's better if I ask the director these questions. How many violations have they encountered over this last period of time with this part-time employee, and how many have resulted in fines that are to a certain degree? And I'm not sure if you're the person to ask for that or if Mr. Habiger is.
As I said earlier, in the last 16 months, they've opened 116 cases. But I will let Director Habiger answer the more detailed aspect of your question.
Questions? Thank you very much. So could Colin Maynard come up, please? Please state your name for the record.
Good Good afternoon. My name is Colin Maynard. I'm a licensed civil engineer in the state of Alaska and a member of the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board, and I'm here today representing them. The conditions that have led to this bill are the board used to have 2.5 investigators about 4 or 5 years ago. And then through attrition, it's been reduced to 1/6 of an investigator. Typically, in other states, investigators take on about 25 cases a year. We've had 13 in the last quarter. There are 22 open cases, and I think he's got 30 that he closed. Two are in the AG's office. So he's got a fair amount of work just with us, never mind the other five boards. He also has to now keep up with 9 new engineering disciplines that he didn't before, and with their different standards of practice and the regulations and statutes that apply to those, so that he can determine whether those engineers are or are not fulfilling their requirements. And we've seen more unlicensed practice since the economic conditions in the lower 48 have made it so people go looking for work in other locations. And I've heard some licensees wonder, you know, why bother being licensed if nobody's going to enforce it? They keep license, but that is a concern. There'll be a positive impact by having this one investigator assigned to the board. Right now, he basically is attached to his Anchorage office and will get up to the Mat-Su Valley occasionally and down to the Kenai Peninsula occasionally, but the rest of the state does not see any investigation. And obviously, there are probably concerns with unlicensed practice other than those three locations. So we'll be able to locate and protect the public by finding instances of unlicensed practice or substandard practice if he's able to actually do work on that one board. As was stated previously, the cost is borne by the licensees. There's no oil money that's going to be covering this. It's our fees, and I have not heard from one society that I know of, that professional society, that is not willing to pay the additional $20 over 2 years to make sure that the licensing laws are enforced. The other half of this bill is getting rid of the word written for written examination. The architects have not had a written examination for several years. I believe one person who failed the architectural exam complained that he had to take a computer exam, and if it had been a written exam, he would have passed. The engineers, the fundamentals of engineering exam starting in April of 2014 will be computer-based and only computer-based. And subsequent to that, the various PE exams, professional engineering exams, will also be rolling into being computer-based and not written. So we need to get the written out of there so we're able to do a computer-based exam. And that's the end of my testimony, unless you have any questions.
Questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you. Don Habinger, could you please come up and state your name for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Habinger, and I'm Director of Professional Licensing Corporations, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. Here to answer questions.
Questions from members of the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we talked about some of the issues that were happening before, I'll give you maybe reword the question that I had for the spill sponsor, and that has to do with as we look at the state's declining revenues, they're going to have to be tightening the budget to a certain degree. Otherwise, we're going to be spending outside of we're going to be dipping into other funds that we'd rather not dip into. We're spending greater than revenues. Over the next foreseeable future, I see $115,000 to $110,000 increase in the state's budget when we're supposed to be trying to go ahead and cut the state's budget. How do you justify that? And it's a slightly different question than I asked before because I misphrased it, but we still see the state having to pick up a 6-digit number for various things and supplies within the office. And how do you justify that?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. The statute that requires me to set fees in conjunction with the board is in our centralized licensing statute under Title VIII. And all of the professions, and we have 40 that come under our division's umbrella, have to support themselves. So the testimony that you heard from Senator Giesel is absolutely correct. We would set fees in conjunction with the board to recoup those costs. On the out years, if we hire this person, if you pass the bill, there is no question there would be an increase to those fees. I cannot tell you what that is today. There are a number of factors to setting those fees. But nonetheless, by statute, we have to annually review the programs. We have to look at their revenue and expenses, and we adjust fees upwards or downwards to recoup those costs. And I believe the correct terminology is fee-supported services.
But the $110,000 is not covered by the fees.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we would adjust the fees at the next licensing cycle to capture that additional expense side.
Okay. If I continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
As you look at some of the violations and some of the fines that have been levied, how in the last or 5 or 6 years, and I realize we've got 116 new cases or 116 open cases that are out there. But before that, there have been cases that have been settled and investigated by the 1/6 of an investigator, as was pointed out by Mr. Maynard. How many of those people were actually how many of those people were actually levied fines at the time? Do you have that number?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. I don't have that one with me today, but I can certainly get that back to the committee.
If I continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Continuing on that same vein, as you look at some of the, another investigator is going to find more things wrong, open more cases, have more expenses that are out there than are at least reflected in the fiscal note. Is that not taken into consideration as you look at some of these fees that are going to be shouldered by many of these people that are out there?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we would agree with that. We think the more we look, the more things that we would find. And one of the items in the fiscal note is services, and that's kind of where we have a bump, if you will, in the use of things like Department of Law, expert witnesses. There was testimony given, or it was mentioned that our investigators are experts. They are experts in the statutes and regulations. They are not experts necessarily in the subject matter. So they may have to go to that expert subject matter. We enter a contract with them, and we do anticipate an increase in all this activity.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
As you look at some of the issues that are being dealt with out there with the board of the AELNS, and you look at this last section, as was pointed out by Mr. Maynard, where you're looking to go away from a written test and go to something else, and one person has already failed it. Do you anticipate that more people are going to be failing it? And I guess I bring this up because all of a sudden we have an influx of people that are engineers, maybe in another state, and then the people that are already here and been licensed, you know, why should they pay for licenses when somebody new to the state doesn't? And then yet we're making it easier for these people by doing away with the written test and having them go to a computer-based test.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the way it works for the ALS board is they belong to a number of national associations. Part of the responsibility of the national associations is to, with the expertise of the various licenses practice across the nation, come up with these tests. And I'm not the expert. I believe we have a licensee who probably could even answer that better than myself. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know we have a board member here. I saw him in the audience. But nonetheless, these national tests are through an agreement contracted, if you will, with state boards. They use these tests for the licensees. The licensees take them. They are tailored for the specific jurisdiction in many cases, and that's how the test is given through a computer at testing sites.
And how many testing sites do you have throughout the state? I guess my real question is, if somebody's out there in Nome and wants to go ahead and take a test, I could see if you had a written test, you could just send them a mail and having somebody proctor it up there. If you have a if you have to have a computer that's up there where you have internet that may be slow or maybe out of phase with what's going on, are they able to go ahead and take that at some of the hub sites?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a good question. I don't have the answer today, but I'll get back to the committee on that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional questions for Don Heberger from the committee? Seeing none, thank you. This takes us down to, Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request the licensee to come back and discuss.
Okay. Please state your name for the record again.
Yeah, this is Colin Maynard on the ALS board.
Senator Machicki.
Well, if you could help with some of Senator Olson's questions. And
again, Senator Machicki through the chair. The way that it works is we are a member of three different national licensing organizations. Mm-hmm. The NCEES, which is Engineers and Surveyors, NCARB, which is Architects, and then CLARB, which is the Landscape Architects. They write national tests that are given throughout the country twice a year. When they go to a computer test, it'll go not to a specific day, it'll be a period. Right now, we only offer the tests twice a year, and they are only in Anchorage and Fairbanks, so that is not going to change. Because of the testing security, you have to have a secure site. When they go to the computer testing, there will be sites in Anchorage and Fairbanks again. We try to get one in Juneau, but there are too few registrants in down here. So yes, if you are somebody from Nome who wants to take the test with the computer testing versus the written, you still would have to go to Anchorage or Fairbanks to take that test. But they are national tests that everybody in the country takes. Going to a computer is not going to make it easier or harder. It's being written by the same people that were writing it before. I think the person who was complaining about the computer was trying to find an excuse.
Well, we all do when we fail a test, don't we? Not our fault.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the pass rate varies by year and the test, but it's usually in the 60% to 70% range.
Just for clarification, so if somebody had a written test, it's not like you could go ahead and send that out to somebody and make it, they would still, whether it's written or computer, they've got to come to Fairbanks or Anchorage.
Yes.
To go ahead and take this national standardized test.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions? Thank you. So we're moving to public testimony. Dale Nelson. Please come forward, state your name for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dale Nelson. I'm a registered professional civil engineer here in the state of Alaska and fall under the ALS board's requirements, and I'm here to testify for the Alaska Professional Design Council, the Legislative Liaison Committee. And APDC supports this bill, Senate Bill number 16. And this legislation and the discussion is here has been one in our committees. We discuss it by conference calls and telephone calls as we work the different legislation. Secondly, we have what is a newsletter, the Alaska Professional Design Council's newsletter, and we publicize that in there. This newsletter, we've got nine different societies that, you know, the civil engineers, professional engineers, CEC, the Engineering Council, architects, land surveyors. And there's three or four more that goes there. But anyway, this is part of it. They receive these write-ups and in the newsletter. And I'm here because I brought it to the board, got approval to work the legislation and to testify here that we're in agreement with it. And we do understand that there will be fees increase because our fees the fees that we pay are for our licensure covers the LS board and whatever else that you heard is added into the fee. End of my testimony.
Questions for members of the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dale, as you look at some of the 6,500 or so licensees that are out there, the rank-and-file people, I'm assuming, are the people you rub shoulders with.
That is correct.
How many of those people are opposed to this legislation?
I haven't had nobody opposing it.
Unanimous?
I'd have to say that. You know, it's as much as I can get it out through the chair to Senator Olson, but it's that's right. I haven't had any pushback or...
Thank you very much, Mr. Nelson.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Janet Matheson, please come forward. State your name for the record. Tell us who you're with.
My name is Janet Matheson. I'm a registered professional architect in Fairbanks since 1977. I'm representing the American Institute of Architects Alaska chapter. We have about 238 professional members. Not every architect in our state belongs to this professional organization. Some, of course, choose not to join. We are in favor of SB 16. We feel we need a full-time investigator. There used to be 2.5 investigators. We are down to 1/6 of an investigator, and the volume is excruciating. In our state, we have difficulties with people who come here and from other states and want to get comedy registration, which means they want to transfer their registration. But when they get here, they need to take Arctic engineering and they need to study seismic engineering. And of course, our registration requirements include those. We have overlaps with other design professionals, architects, engineers, and land surveyors, and that's a kind of a problem that does get reported to an investigator if someone chooses to work outside his discipline. There are issues of public safety, where a building roof might collapse due to heavy snow load. This is in the realm of the structural engineer, but frequently, because the architect takes umbrella coverage for the design project, the architects are also responsible. And there are outside firms who come in and acquire projects but do not have people who are registered in our state. So these are the kinds of problems we have. We also understand that the investigator is only concentrating on the Anchorage Bowl area, which leaves the other areas of the state without enough investigator time to look at their problems. So we feel that's a problem too. We do recommend that you approve this bill and move it forward. And of course, the electronic exam issue is a housekeeping item. We should stay up to date. Our examinations for professional architect are totally electronic.
Thank you.
That's the end of my testimony.
Questions for members of the committee? Seeing none, we're going to hold the bill for further. We're going to keep public testimony open, and we're going to set the bill aside, and we will get back to it at a later date. With that, we're going to move on to SB 38 at this time, which is a bill sponsored by Senator Olson, an act extending the termination date of the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date. David Scott, please come forward. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, staff to Senator Olson.
And please start with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before the committee, Senate Bill 38, extends the sunset review, or extends the sunset date to the State Medical Board by 7 years, from June 30th of this year to June 30th of 2020. The State Medical Board is it's an eight-member board, all appointed by the governor, approved by the legislature. There are five physicians, one physician's assistant, and two at-large members. The board is it's a regulatory board. They license and regulate osteopaths, paramedics, physicians assistants, and podiatrists. That's nuts and bolts of it, Mr. Chairman. The president of the board, Ed Hall, is online to answer any questions. There's also a representative from Legislative Budget and Audit to go over the sunset review audit for your convenience. And there's also Mr. Haberger from Department of Commerce is here to answer any other questions. There is a fiscal note, and he can answer details on that.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Scott, from members of the committee? Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, or through the chair, I see two numbers. I see an eight-member board and I see a five-member board on the fiscal note. Do you know which number is correct?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, statute I read, they had eight members. I think that maybe Mr. Haberger could answer that question a little more your benefit.
Okay.
The statute says eight. So.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
To clear up the situation, is you got the state medical board is made up of eight people, five MDDO types, one PA, and you got two at large or two public members that are there. So that's it's a full eight member board that's there, and that's what is reflected in the fiscal note.
Questions from the committee?
Well, Mr. Senator. Chair, the fiscal note needs to be corrected. The fiscal note states travel expenses of 26.5 represent transportation and per diem for the five-member board and staff to meet at least four times a year in accordance with 08.64.085.
Questions? Thank you. You have another question?
I have additional questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Machicki?
I'll have to take an at ease, Mr. Chairman.
At ease. Back in session.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Senator Machicki's question, I think we have Mr. Haberger to answer that question because he has more of a handle on what the numbers are and what they mean. So we can either call him back up now or else continue on with questions with Mr. Scott as to what the bill actually says and then have him clear up this question Senator Machicki brought up.
Any additional questions for Mr. Scott?
Perhaps. I'll give it a try. The cost, if it's a five-member board, is $58,700 if you eliminate the two positions per board member. If there are eight board members, it's $36,687. What are those? Is it a paid position to be on the medical board?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki. They get a per diem travel and per diem allowance, just the standard for the other boards. They're not on salary or
additional questions?
No, I don't believe so.
Thank you. So why don't we have Mr. Haberger up again, please, and state your name for the record. And tell us once again who you're with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Haberger, and I'm Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. If I may, Mr. Chair,
yes, please.
apologize. We didn't catch that before it went out. It is an eight-member board. Not sure how five got in there. A mistake. We will get that corrected.
Questions?
Well, I certainly.
Senator Machicki?
Certainly, through the chair. Certainly don't mean that as a negative comment. I'm just trying to understand. But is that a typical cost for state boards in the $40,000 range? I mean, it seems high. Just sort of wondering. I know it covers some per diem and travel, but.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, the medical board is somewhat unique from the standpoint that they feel in order to service our state, they have to get out to the rural communities as well because health care certainly is a component of every part of our state. So while some of our boards choose to centralize and stand in Anchorage area or Fairbanks or one of the major communities, if you will, I know the medical board twice a year has, if you will, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and then twice a year get out to other places, Nome, etc. The only time I sort of gulped is when they asked to go out to Dutch Harbor and the division asked them to rethink that.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions from members of the committee?
Did they rethink it?
Through the chair, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Could Chris Curtis come up, please? State your name for the record. Tell us who you're with.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm legislative auditor representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Our agency did conduct a sunset audit of the board during 2012. The purpose of the audit was to determine whether the extension, whether their termination date should be extended and whether they were serving the public's interest. We concluded that the board is serving the public's interest by effectively licensing and regulating osteopaths, podiatrists, physicians, physician's assistants, and paramedics. We did recommend the board's termination date be extended 7 years till June 30th of 2020. And this recommendation is 1 year less than the statutory maximum in recognition of one new finding and recommendation that we made as part of the audit. And it related to continuing medical education reviews. During the audit period, the medical board went through two biannual licensing cycles. In one of those cycles, the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, DCBPL, staff failed to review continuing medical education requirements in accordance with regulations. Regulations require 5% of licensees be reviewed, and they only reviewed 4%. So we did recommend to DCBPL's director to ensure that the quantity of licensees selected for review met the minimum required by regulation. We also had two continuing recommendations we made to the board. The first is associated with deficiencies in DCBPL's investigative case management system. These deficiencies were noted during 2011 sunset audits, and we again found the problem during 2012. We found when looking at investigative cases for the board that several cases were missing key information in their system, such as priority codes, case open dates, and resolution codes. Deficiencies in the case management system hamper the division's ability to provide adequate support to the board. We have found that the division has taken steps to address the issue. They have formed a task force to identify necessary corrective action. And the final ongoing recommendation was a recommendation to the, again, DCBPL director to implement procedures to ensure that board disciplinary actions are reported in accordance with state and federal law. Law requires the disciplinary actions be reported to national databanks. A previous audit we had conducted found that not all disciplinary actions were being reported, and some were not being reported within the 30-day time frame. So what we found when we came in 2012 is there was improvement. In the cases we reviewed, all of the disciplinary actions were reported. However, none were within the 30-day time frame. So we made a recommendation to improve their reporting of disciplinary actions. The department and the board concurred with all recommendations.
Thank you. Questions for Chris Curtis? Senator Wilson?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Curtis, as you look at CMEs and some of the issues that are out there, all for everybody requires them for licensure. How does Alaska on its biannual relicensing compare to other states as far as requirements for the MDs or the physicians in particular?
Senator Olson, through the chair, our review did not compare licensing requirements to other states, so we couldn't comment on that.
This is not licensing requirements. This is licensing renewal requirements. Somebody's already licensed. He's got to take so many CMEs in order to go ahead and continue on with their license. How does that compare to other states?
Senator Olson, through the chair, continuing credits. Mm-hmm. I don't know that question. I'm going to look back to my staff who did the audit, whether we did any work on continuing education. We had no findings on that. I know it has not been a problem in the past as it's been for other boards.
Sure.
We have had issues with other boards as far as their continuing education not meeting national standards and not requiring as many credits as other states, but we have not had that problem with the medical board.
But it did become an issue because there was only 4% that were reviewed as opposed to 5% under regulation.
Okay, Senator Olson, through the chair, I want to clarify that. What this was staff, when they're doing their reviews, they do select a sample to make sure and to audit the requirements, and they only selected 4% as opposed to 5%. So it really was a DCBPL staff issue.
I can continue, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
Under the number two of the three issues that were cited under the audit. You had talked about the case management deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a time that patient care was compromised by any of that by your review?
Senator Olson, through the chair, we did not find any instance of that.
Okay, that's good to hear. And the last question, Mr. Chairman, I have has to do with disciplinary action. And as you look at some of the national data bank requirements that are out there, for example, you talked about the 30 days that are there. Mm-hmm. It's actually a two-part piece of the puzzle, right? Just because the reporting doesn't happen within 30 days, and also that the national data bank has got to accept it in order to post it. And was that deficiency that you found a part of the problem here in the state of Alaska, or was it part of the national data bank itself?
Senator Olson, through the chair, we found it was on behalf of the staff not submitting it, as opposed to it not being received.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions from committee members?
I'm assuming that if I get audited, well, I'm going to say
thank you.
Pay for that.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much. We do have, we're going to move to public testimony, and I believe we have Ed Hall online. Is that correct, from Anchorage?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name and who you're with for the record, please, and then begin your testimony.
Okay, my name is Ed Hall. I'm a physician assistant from Anchorage, Alaska, and I currently serve as the president of our state medical board. And I was calling in to basically testify that I would be in favor. I think highly of our state medical board, and I think that we do a good service to help protect the health and safety of the Alaskan people. And so I would be in favor of the extension of this sunset date to 2020. And I just also wanted to avail myself to any questions that anybody may have for me.
Any questions for Mr. Hall from the committee? Senator Olson?
Mr. Hall, you said you were the president of the state medical board. I'm assuming you meant the chairman of the state medical board. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, apparently it is referred to as the president of the board, and that came up in one of our meetings, and it was clarified that is the terminology given to the chair / president.
My real question, Mr. Chairman, what do you agree with the 7-year extension as opposed to going to the full 8-year that's allowed under statute?
Well, through the chair, Senator Olson, I would be in agreement with that, because I think it would be nice to have the 8-year, but 7 years I think is a fair number as well, because of the findings that were found in the sunset auditing. So, and we have implemented that. One of the discussions was about the reporting to the MPDB, and we have tasked our executive administrator to have primary oversight of that, so that we certainly fall into compliance with that reporting issue.
My last comment, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I just want to thank you, Mr. Hall, for your service, as well as the service of the other people on the board, for this very necessary part of Alaska's health care delivery system, to make sure that we all are being served by adequately licensed people.
Thank you. Any additional questions from members of the board for Mr. Hall? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Hall. Is there anyone else online? No one else online? Anyone else in the audience that wish to testify at this time through public testimony? Seeing none, we're going to keep public testimony open on this bill and set it off to the side. And we will have next week's schedule out shortly. At this time, we're going to adjourn.